going?
There.
Thank you.
It's fine. Hi, Rusty.
Hey.
Okay, you can hear us all good?
Yep.
Okay, we'll get started. Go ahead and call the June 17th, 2025 Public Works Committee meeting to order. In attendance, we have Alderman Koch, Alderman Soling, Alderman Transier, Alderman Plocher, Brad Sanderson, John Sleaser, and Alderman Cornelius online, and Christy Noble. Citizen comments, nobody on Zoom land, nobody in here. Pass that up. Take into consideration the minutes for corrections or approval. Anybody have anything?
I'm good.
All good, Russ?
Yep.
Okay, we'll take them as presented. On the new business, PW 2025-61. Resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated for the Countryside Lift Station Improvements Design Engineering.
That's a an agreement with EEI to do this engineering on Countryside Lift Station to do some rehab work on or upgrading work on the pumps and the equipment inside the lift station there.
What are we looking to do? New pillars?
Probably a little bit more extensive than that. It's probably some new pumps, some new ventilation.
So we're doing replacements and not rehabs?
Yeah. A lot of wear, corrosion on the pumps that we've seen. So it's probably going to be a little bit more in depth than that. New gas detection system down there, so a little bit safer for personnel down in the basement.
You already have the meter scoped out? Which brand are you using?
That I don't know. That would be some Keith in my office, project manager, who deals with the wastewater side of the items. I'm not sure what he and John and John and Eric have talked about John Bauer, so maybe they already have something in mind, but I'm not aware of what that is.
MSA.
It's fantastic. Where to go, huh?
We just upgraded everything to MSA.
Yeah. Okay.
So much easier, cleaner, easier to get parts for. They work.
There you go. That's a positive.
That's what we're looking for, things that work.
Yeah, right. Yeah, MSA. Everybody good?
Yep.
Move that on to consent. You good with that? Okay. Item number two, PW 2025-62, a resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated for the 2025 stormwater basin inspections.
Another agreement with EEI to. Not sure what the storm sewer basin is, actually.
Yeah, I can provide some background. So we've been doing stormwater basin inspections for quite some time. It's actually a requirement of the NPDES permit that the city has. So basically, the city has a permit through the IEPA related to stormwater and water quality, and they have to comply. There's a whole long document that the city said they were going to do some things. Basically, it was approved about 10 years or so ago. So we've been doing annual inspections for a while, but we were doing it under our city engineering contract. Just moving forward, we prefer to, just have a formal agreement, separate agreement, which kind of spells everything out. So basically, the requirement through the permit, which was issued by the state, is to inspect every basin once every 5 years. So we're just following what we're asked to do. So, shoot, Christy, we've been doing it for about six, seven years.
Yep.
And just formalizing it via this agreement. So we'll get a quarter of roughly 20 to 25% of the basin stuff this year.
Okay. We don't have any brick basins, do we? It's all concrete?
No. Well, these are stormwater basins, so these are like your stormwater management facilities.
Yes.
I think they're all, I'm not aware of any of those.
No brick?
Yeah.
Any questions?
I'm good.
All good? Okay, can move that on to consent. Item number three, PW 2025-63, a resolution approving a change order relating to the El Domain Water Main Loop South.
Yeah, so this is a project related to the Cyrus One development. We have two contracts that were entered into for the water main. This is the southern part of that. After we had designed and bid the project, the developer came back and said they wanted to maintain an existing railroad track basically on the Cyrus One property. He didn't know it. There is a railroad spur that comes off of the Burlington Northern Line through the property. It kind of heads up toward the ComEd substation. They told us originally they were going to get rid of that. Then they told us they were going to keep it. So therefore, we had to bore a jack underneath the railroad tracks versus open cut again. So this request was at their request, or the increase was at their request. So the work is complete. The change or the addition to the contract is a little bit over $77,000. It's all to be paid for by Cyrus.
Yeah, to say they're paying for the whole thing anyways.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
The memo didn't say it. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We had the same thing.
Yeah. In the background, it's kind of hidden there, but it is covered that Cyrus One is paying for. Yes. Good.
Yeah. Why would they want the spur?
I'm not sure, Dan, and I just literally saw 2 days ago that they now said they're going to get rid of the spur. So they have flip-flopped again. But
so they're going to pay $77,000.
Already in the ground.
Okay.
It's already built.
77 grand ain't nothing to them.
I understand
yeah.
it.
But yeah,
still,
why?
Yeah.
And it'll probably change again.
Yeah.
So
we'll put it back in?
Yeah.
Yeah, why would they?
I'm not.
You'd think they'd want it out because then there's no spur going into their data center.
Right. There's no need for a spur into a data center.
It's constantly flip-flopping.
Okay.
So,
they're paying for it.
Right.
Power to them.
You okay with moving that on to consent?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Not our money.
What did you say?
He said it's not our money.
Oh.
Okay, we'll move that to consent. Item number four, PW 2025-64, resolution approving the release of a performance guarantee bond related to Ashley Point Prestwick subdivision.
All right, this is a bit unusual. The City Council accepted the public improvements in Ashley Point back in 2020, so a little bit over 5 years ago. It has taken 5 years to work through the rest of the punch list items. So definitely much longer than a typical development. The item that had been sitting out there for the last 2 years was the development of the park site. So that park site was regraded, reseeded, and has now met the satisfaction of the Parks and Rec Department, and they have signed off on it. So therefore, we are able to move ahead and release the final bond on the project. So the land still needs to be transferred, so once it goes to the City Council, that would be a contingency that we won't want to release the bond until the property is secured, but the developer is working on transferring that over. So I'd be happy to address any questions that
Rusty, you all good?
Yep.
Okay, this will have to go on regular agenda since it requires a majority vote. Correct?
I think release of a bond. I think in the past it's also gone on consent.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever you want. Either one has to read it.
Yeah, I don't mind that part. Just, yeah, since it says required a majority, I put it on regular agenda. You can always pull it off. Chris can pull it off if he wants.
I think he ever pulls anything off and puts it on consent. I have.
Okay. And that concludes the new business. Old business, item number one, PW 2025-50, resolution approving a bid to construct a 1,500,000 gallon standpipe related water mains and other site improvements for the South Receiving Station standpipe.
Yeah, at the last Public Works Committee meeting in May, there was some discussion on the bids, and then there were some other questions that were popped up. So the bids came in kind of late, and then we brought it to the Public Works Committee, and then we had asked some questions of the contractor, and they didn't have the answers before the meeting, so we've now been able to get several more pieces of information, put together a memo, which is in the packet. And then I have a few updates that have happened since the memo was produced. So there were a handful of things that came up at the last committee meeting. One was in regard to the site selection process. You know, why did we circle in on Restore Church? So in that area, there's a lot of things going on. So we need to bring the DuPage Water Commission transmission line to the site. They need to put their metering station on that site. We need to build a receiving station that the city will own and operate, plus a storage facility, which is the standpipe. So we needed a sizable parcel, about 4 acres is what we ended up concluding. It was also pretty critical to have a certain elevation to that site, because with your standpipe, everything flows by gravity coming out of, well, a good chunk of it, the top third of it flows by gravity, so we need to match the existing zones and the elevations that the city already has. So we didn't want a property too low because that would make the standpipe very tall and also very expensive. Also didn't want to make it short either, because there's some limitations and sizing and what we could do there. So we had a limited range of elevations that we could choose from in that area, which only boiled down to about 3 or 4 different sites that we could potentially purchase. So that was a big item. Also, the church was very cooperative. So we had to purchase the property, and they were cooperative throughout the process. In fact, the property was just closed on a couple days ago, so the property has now been formally purchased, so that's one of the updates that I mentioned. The funding requirements, if the city so choose to move sites or what have you, with WIFIA, it's a lengthy process. You have to have environmental sign-offs on all your sites and all your construction related work. So basically it's a 6 to 8 month process for identifying routes and locations. So if you were to, make a decision to move something, basically you set the project back a minimum of that time. And then you also have to go through the land acquisition process, which is also very lengthy. So basically if there's a site location change, you're pushing the project back 1 to 2 years. So we're all, we're kind of backed up against the schedule anyway to hit the target of, basically being ready by the end of 27 to receive DuPage Water. I know CB and I had actually asked to push the completion back of the tank to late in 2028, which wouldn't work for us. So they're already backed up against the schedule with the amount of work that they have throughout the industry. So just funding also kind of comes into play. Changing sites. There were some questions, certainly that we had, and also some of you had, on some of the soils and the foundation design. It was noted in our last memo that there was an increase in cost related to some of the foundation work. We did get some more information on that. So as part of the design process, we sub out to have a geotechnical subcontractor come out and do some soil borings to evaluate the soils. On tank projects, they drill down multiple times to a depth of 100 feet to get a full soil profile. That's included in the bid package, so the contractors have that information when they're bidding the project. They were all assuming it was going to be the contractors, a shallow foundation, until just a few days before the bid. Then they changed their direction on it, based on some of the soils and calculations and all the structural engineering they need to do to make sure a tank's not gonna fall over. So then they made the decision to go from what's typically called a shallow foundation to kind of a deep foundation and the use of piles. So not unusual, and we've been involved in several tank projects that have also gone in that direction, so it's not unusual for tank contractors to do that. So one of the reasons why they did that is there was like a lens of soil, I think between like 30 and 50 feet below the earth that maybe wasn't as strong as some of the other layers. So therefore that kind of triggered, based on their calculations, they had to go to this type of a foundation to make sure it complied and was going to stay standing. So they had estimated that change was about $700,000. So, you know, a significant amount, but, you know, that's what that accounted for. So at this point, you know, in the last part of our memo, you know, certainly we are recommending moving forward to CB&I. We noted out a handful of reasons why. One is timeliness. You know, any more of a major delay will certainly jeopardize the completion of the tank by the end of 2027. You know, there's only two folks in the area that can build this type of a tank. They alluded to, you know, just based on market conditions as well, that the tank world is extremely busy. There's a lot of competition. Certainly by rebidding it, we feel that we're not going to get any better costs by any means if we do that. And then we have talked to CB&I about some possible value engineering type of items. You know, are there items that could be revised and reduced and in order to save some dollars? They did send something back here today. We haven't fully been able to vet it, but it was, you know, roughly $350,000 worth of savings on a couple of items that we had talked to them about. And then also internally, we had noted some things, too, that we might be able to do, put on a different contract, for example, because we're going to have three different contracts down in that area that also might save some money and take advantage of that as well. So at this point, we would recommend awarding it for the full value, which is roughly $6.5 million. And then we would follow up with the change order with some of these value engineering items once we get those sorted out. So rambled on for a few minutes there. Definitely wanted to cover some of the items that I had heard from the last meeting and certainly able to address any questions that anybody may have about.
Everybody good?
Mm-hmm. I have a few questions. Did they turn over, or I don't know, did you see their data of why they calculated that we needed pylons? Because I feel like we don't have any more information than we did when we last met, because we were just like, well, they calculated that we needed pylons and it cost $700,000 more, and we're still there. Did you guys double check what they're saying, that confer that it made sense, or like, are we just taking their word on it?
Yeah, so you know, it's their responsibility to design it and stamp it. You know, we would see the foundation once we get under contract, because they have to supply those calculations and shop drawings. So, you know, it's a little bit premature to get that information. And typically we do get it after the contract is awarded. And that's where we would take a deeper dive at it. But it's certainly, you know, not unusual to you know, take their word for it. They're the ones that have to sign it and stamp it, put their name to it, but it is double checked after the contract is awarded.
So then we could just have approved it last meeting then? It doesn't seem like much has changed on that front of everything.
Well, it seems like between, what was it, 30 and 90 feet?
Like 30 and 50 feet. Yeah, we did not have that information.
Yeah, they just said they're questioning this 30 to 50 feet area, which we didn't have that information last time. We didn't know why they were questioning it. It was this layer of soil is what they're questioning.
All right. I guess my other question would be is, I don't know, is this like a common thing? It just seems like we went in thinking we're going to need just one thing based on the samples that, you know, you guys poured, and then now what we're they said something different, now it's $700,000 difference, I guess. How do we prevent something like that happening again? Or is this just common?
Well, I don't know if it's common, but I don't know if it's uncommon either. So, you know, the bidders really didn't dive into, you know, the detailed foundation work until late in the game. So typically we have a pre-bid meeting and, you know, there's an exchange of questions back and forth. And in a lot of cases, you know, some things like that would come up. But I think with the high volume of work that the tank contractors have right now, you know, they weren't looking at this project, you know, too closely until late in the game, until a few days before the project was a bid. So not only did CB&I say this, but also the other tank contractor that was considering bidding the project, Caldwell, said the same thing. So I think Caldwell had referenced that they were actively bidding like 19 or 20 projects at the time that they bid our project here. So I think it more has to do with market conditions on why we didn't learn of this sooner. But I don't know if it would have changed anything, Rusty. I mean, the soils are what they are. You know, again, it's not unusual to go to a deep foundation. We've had other projects. I know I recall one personally that I worked on in Montgomery that also went to a deep foundation. And then, you know, certainly there would be cost increases with that. But, you know, again, we weren't aware of this until the bids actually came in.
All right. I'm just curious.
From what I understand, that's part of the reason why the other contractor bowed out was because of the excess time and the excess cost. And they didn't they feel that they would have enough time to complete it.
That's my understanding. Plus, they had other, you know, they were working on many other bids that they felt might have been a little bit more, maybe they could be more competitive on. Yes. Yes, correct.
And so we've got the one bidder.
Correct.
And if we say, no, we're going to put it back out to rebid, they can not bid and we'll have no bidders.
Correct.
Or they can bid it higher.
And they can bid it higher. Absolutely. That's correct. Knowing that they're the only game in town.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we're delighted
to go up.
Yeah.
It's good to be a tank contractor right now. And just, you know, it's unfortunate. It's bad timing, certainly for the city. And you know, I know other communities, you know, Joliet in particular is also bidding out some tanks, and, you know, they're seeing the same issues.
Supply and demand.
Yeah. Yes. We really don't have much of an option. I mean, we do have an option. We can say, go pound sand, we'll rebid it, and
yeah.
We're going to be here in 90 days with either them again.
You think they're right, man, on Facebook now.
Yeah.
Tell them we're raising the rates and they're not getting the water for a couple extra years.
Yeah, right. Anybody else? Ken, you got anything? Okay. Move that on to City Council then.
Put that one on consent, see what happens.
Item number two, PW 2025-51, resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated for the South Receiving Station stand pipe construction.
Again, it's an agreement with EEI to do the engineering, our portion of the engineering for the South Receiving Station. I'm not sure of the cost of that.
Yeah, it's all within the budget. I think we talked a little bit about it last time at the last committee meeting, but just the two items go together, they coincide.
So you're coming in just a little under budget. Any questions?
No, I'm good.
Nope.
Okay, you can put that on regular agenda as well. Finally, additional business. I think Alderman Koch had something he wanted to bring up. Or did you want me to address it? Or?
Well, I talked to him. Can we start the process to get RailNet to work on the tracks downtown? I know it's got to be done every so often, and it's getting to the point they're really rough again now. And I don't know how long we get, like 2-3 years out of there when they do them, and then we're good for a while, and then it's... I just noticed it, and other people have been asking me, are they going to repay?
They're rough.
Lots of people have been slowing down.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
It slows the trucks down.
You turn your car out of alignment.
It does. Well,
no.
One's carrying stuff in the back that could fly out.
That's what I worry about, stuff that flies off the trucks when they hit those.
I think a simple fix to that would be they could come in and grind it and not have to shut down the tracks. I mean, that's the biggest problem with shutting down the tracks to do a repair is...
Well, they do it every so often, if I remember right. Like,
we turn the semis. Yeah, they've done it. They've shut down the tracks twice since I've been here, I think, or maybe three times. But
yeah,
it's never a good sign.
Great
when you're
new bridge on Eldemain Road. You know,
might as well get start use to right. Start to use it. So
truck drivers have a tendency not to see the signs.
Yeah.
Who are they responsible for the actual or the crossing is, aren't they, isn't a portion of that their responsibility and then the rest of it is?
Anything 50 foot from the center of the track is the railroad's.
That's what I thought.
Property, if you will, but
yeah,
so if you're doing work inside of that, you have to have the railroad on site. Traffic control stuff.
Road has an easement through the railroad, not the railroad has an easement through the road. Correct.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. The railroad tells you what they're doing.
Yeah, I just thought that they, in the past, they have addressed it, and it's just start the dialogue, I guess, is what I was thinking.
So it'd be a big state of Illinois and Illinois RailNet and city trying to get together and come up with a good plan on how to shut down the tracks or draw it out and close it to single lane in each direction.
When you surely want to do it, if you're going, they were going to do something like that, you'd want to do it before school started again. Just, the buses all stop there.
I think that's also part two is they'll let you know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if we can start the conversation with them.
Yeah.
So I know, of course, out of my office in Newark, had a meeting with a gentleman on Quiet Zone, which also brought up a number of crossing issues. So I think they have a contact that. You know, that's half the battle with a railroad is actually physically having a contact. So I think that might be a good place to start. So we can mention that to Eric and Chris in my office and see if we can reach out to start that conversation.
Yeah,
they must have had some really powerful lobbyists 150 years ago.
Well, they controlled everything 150 years ago.
No, they just owned everything.
Yeah.
Right. I think they're even above the federal government. They still tell them what they're doing.
I think you're right.
No, IDOT has some good power too, though.
Yeah.
They can decide where they're going to work and when and what.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, it'd be interesting to see the two of them.
All the railroad wins.
It'll be a federal
government. With wagers. That was the only thing I wanted to mention.
Alderman's got a big asshole in the road, but other than that, we're good.
We'll address that next week.
Okay.
Good luck with your future endeavors. Nothing else? You all good, Russ?
Yep, all good.
Okay, then we can close the meeting out at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night,
Take
Russ.
Care.
Good night,
Rusty. Bye.
I tried.